EFA fam, what is up? What is happening? We are on to May, which means the NFL draft is officially in the books. And, you know, so it's time, you know, now that we got landing spots to do a little super flex mock. We've done, you know, we did a pre-draft mock, and now we're going to do a post-draft mock. So, you know, see how things have changed a little bit. Now we got landing spots where some of these players have landed, and I think things have changed some here with the draft. Some players fell a little further than I think people expected. Some players went a little bit maybe higher. Pete Carroll doing Pete Carroll things and drafting Zach Charbonnet. But I'm sure we will get into all that as we talk through this. So let's just go ahead and get this thing rolling with the 101. Cody, last time you went Anthony Richardson, I believe. Are you going to go Anthony Richardson again, or are you going to go Bijan?
It is Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson is the 101. Now, I get it. If you want to play it a little bit safer, Bijan and Anthony Richardson are the clear one and two to me, whatever order you have him. But if Anthony Richardson hits, he is going to be more valuable to your super flex team than Bijan Robinson is. So I'm going to go Anthony Richardson at one. I love the landing spot. I think he has the best landing spot among all these quarterbacks. I think he steps into the best offense. I really like Steichen coming over from the Eagles, who just had a similar-ish type of quarterback with Jalen Hurts, and we all know what he did last year. So it is going to be Anthony Richardson at numero uno for me.
You know, I can't really argue with that. I think from just fantasy purposes, I think he just has the highest ceiling, right? And so I don't mind the pick, right? I think other people, you know, have kind of dug in and, you know, feel like, you know, Bijan should be number one. But I have no problem with going Anthony Richardson, especially in a super flex format. So I'm going to go Bijan at 102. No reason to get cute here. You know, goes to the Atlanta Falcons. And, like, from an NFL perspective, terrible pick. We know taking a running back in the top 10, or even really, for that matter, really within the top 20 is just bad process. With all that being said, we don't – you can beat a dead horse all you want. It happens. So let's talk about what it means now. Like, this is actually probably a great landing spot because he steps into a situation where, as much as I love Tyler Allgeier, Tyler Allgeier is officially dead. And this was a rushing attack last year that was fantastic with, you know, Cordell Patterson and Caleb Huntley and, you know, and Tyler Allgeier back there. And now you put Bijan Robinson there where he's also going to be able to utilizes a pass catcher out of the backfield, true three down workhorse. And so, I mean, this is a great landing spot. I think there's other places he could have went to that I wouldn't have liked as much. While this offense still needs some work, they could definitely still use a quarterback. I'm not sold on Desmond Ridder, but if things don't work out, they could be set up fantastic next year. If, you know, if things don't fall off the rails for them, because they could be sitting there getting Caleb Williams with Kyle Pitts and Drake London and Bijan Robinson ready to go. So, I mean, this offense is ready to go. It's just the really, I feel like missing a quarterback. We'll see on Desmond Ridder, but Bijan Robinson is a lock for 102.
Yeah, really nothing to add there. So let's keep moving and going at the 103. Again, this is a super flex mock. Going to be taking Bryce Young here. This is a little bit of a switch for me. I did have CJ Stroud ahead of him pre-draft, but I just like the landing spot a little bit more. I think there are some more weapons, at least in the immediate part for Bryce Young. I like the staff that is built around him as well. The Carolina Panthers have a sneaky good offensive line. Sorry, that, you know, we've talked about here a couple of times. I think they were like ninth in adjusted line yards according to Football Outsiders last year. I think they were banged up a little bit. So if that line comes back healthy, now the weapons aren't fantastic by any means, but at least they're trying to put some pieces around him. You know, they ended up taking Jonathan Mingo, which was a little bit of a surprise. I think that for a lot of people with as high as he went, I think he was wide receiver 5 off the board for the NFL draft. So the 103 here is going to be Bryce Young.
Yeah, I'm going to go, you know, not surprisingly, another quarterback. I think it makes sense. CJ Stroud, who I like more than Bryce Young. And I actually think, while I think this might be actually be a better situation than the Panthers a little bit here with the Texans, because while yes, they don't have that true star wide receiver or anything like that to pair him with, they do have Dalton Schultz there, who is, you know, can be a very functional pass catcher out of the, you know, for them. I do think that they have some weapons there. You know, we'll have to see what happens with you know, with Mechie. Obviously, he missed last year. You know, he'll be back this year, and they made a lot of other improvements to that offense. So there may not be like a star wide receiver here for him to right out the gate, but at the very least, I think where they stand, I wish they would have done things a little bit differently. I think if you would have went Stroud there, I wish they wouldn't have traded back up to get Will Anderson. I think you could have at 12 went and got Jackson Smith and Jigba to kind of give him that you know, that kind of pass catcher there that he could have worked with. But so, you know, it didn't happen. But regardless of that, I still think CJ Stroud is kind of a slam dunk. And I think he has just as high of ceiling as any is the other two quarterbacks that has already been gone. And so, CJ Stroud is locked in for me, you know, as the next guy off the board. And I think this is kind of where I think most rookie drafts are really going to start.
Yeah, for sure. Next up here, I'm going to go, you know, we talked about the Falcons and them taking Bijan at 8. The next one, which was much more of a surprise, was Jahmyr Gibbs going at 12th overall to the Lions. That's where I'm going here at 105. Very curious pick there from the Lions. They had a really, really odd draft, but then like, if you like switch some of the names around, like it doesn't look as bad, but in order, like there were just some questionable picks there. Obviously with DeAndre Swift being moved to Philly, that opens things up. Obviously Gibbs is a much more explosive runner than David Montgomery. With as much hatred and I guess just like lack of overall seeming production from DeAndre Swift last year, I think he was still like RB20 in points per game. And that was with him playing like, what was it, like 40% of the snaps or something like that. You're not going to have the Lions take him at 12 and give him that same treatment. I still obviously think it's going to be a split between him and Montgomery, but I don't think it's going to be as drastic as it was with Jamal Williams there and DeAndre Swift last year. So the other wide receiver just landing in maybe some questionable spots. Jahmyr Gibbs in a full PPR league is an easy 105 here for me.
Yeah, so for me, I think for next up is definitely a wide receiver. I mean, once Zach Charbonnet, you know, got Pete Carroll's, it kind of took him out of the running for that. I do think there's some other running backs that are super interesting that I really do like, but you know, here is definitely a wide receiver. And I think it comes down to, for me, I think you can make a case for a couple of these guys. Like, I think long term, obviously JSN has the highest ceiling, and while we shouldn't factor in too much in terms of landing spot, especially for wide receivers, at least for this year, like I think it's going to be a little bit hard for him to kind of reach his you know, the ceiling. Now he is still a rookie, but like, he is going to be the third wide receiver here in this offense. And I just have question marks about Geno Smith. Like, can he repeat what he did last year? They definitely want to run the football by their pick of Zach Charbonnet. So I don't know if enough volume is going to be there. And I feel like that there hasn't been as much made about Quentin Johnston, about him going to the Chargers. Like, of all the landing spots of the wide receivers that went in the first round, like, no, to me, like, there's no wide receivers even close to the landing spot that he got. I mean, he's you're getting him paired with Justin Herbert. You're talking about two wide receivers that are always injured, and Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen is 30-plus years old. Like Keenan Allen could definitely be gone after this year, which would be a similar situation if Tyler Lockett were to leave for JSN. But none of these wide receivers have Justin Herbert, you know, throwing them the football, and an offense that I really love now with Kellen Moore coming in as the offensive coordinator. So it's probably going to be controversial, but I'm going to go Quentin Johnston. I'm sticking with it. I think this is a great landing spot. When he landed there, I'm like, fuck. You know, as a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs, and I think they're going to be able to use him correctly. I think it gives Justin Herbert that next weapon that they really need. We saw last year when guys would fall off that offense, you know, it wasn't as great. But I like Quentin Johnston. I think the hate for him has gone way, way too far for where he is. And obviously the NFL disagrees. A lot of people were saying, oh, he's going to fall out of the first round. That didn't happen. He was the second wide receiver off the board, one pick, after JSN went. So I love Quentin Johnston. I think this is a terrific landing spot for him.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of went back and forth between him and the next guy here, and I'm going to go with JSN here at the 105. 7. I know for obviously for year one, it's not a great landing spot, right? But again, this is Dynasty. We don't care necessarily about year one. We're thinking long-term, full picture here. He was still my favorite wide receiver in this draft class after he was getting knocked for literally no reason. I think we just get bored at some point and we have to find someone like, oh, JSN was the clear number one wide receiver in this class. Not anymore. We got to cut him down for no reason. But, you know, Tyler Lockett obviously getting up there in age. DK Metcalf is still going to be around. Looks like they're finally starting to build some semblance of an offensive line after not doing that for Russell Wilson for his entire tenure. But that's another tirade for a different day. But I think the landing spot, again, year one, not fantastic. But going forward, I'm fine with it. I'm not going to knock him down any further. So I'm going to go JSN here at 107.
Yeah, and so next up is going to be Jordan Addison for me because he has a clear path to immediate playing time. Adam Thielen is gone. I think he slides right into the slot there. I think he's going to slide right into the slot. And, you know, when you look at that offense, yes, TJ Hockenson is still there. He's probably the third target at the very least. But I still think this is a great landing spot for him. And, he gets this first-round draft capital as well. You know, I know Zay Flowers is going to be a guy a lot of people like as well. And I think you can make a case for him. You know, I'm not sure if that's going to be your next pick. But, I mean, when you look at Zay Flowers, yes. But I still have concerns with that offense. Yes, that offense is going to throw the ball more with Greg Roman gone finally. So with Todd Monk in there, they're definitely going to be throwing the ball more. But I don't think it's going to be this drastic change. And there's still, you know, a lot of other players there. Mark Andrews, Rashad Bateman, Odell with whatever left he has in the tank. So I really like Zay Flowers, but I just think, you know, year one and beyond, I think Jordan Addison is in a great spot.
Yep. I really don't have – we're pretty chalky here so far. I mean, we're pretty in step. Now, I don't know if we are going to be in step on this next one. Maybe this will be our first, like, you know, real spicy one. But I'm going to go Devin Achane at 109. I know I get it, sub 190 running back, but he landed in a fantastic spot in Miami. There was no chance he was going to be a featured NFL back, right? So where does it go? He lands in a place where they use more than one running back at a time, which I think is going to be perfect for him. He just brings another level of speed to that already, you know, deadly offense between Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. So really like this landing spot. I think the running scheme fits him very well as well. So there's really nothing that I don't like about this landing spot. Obviously, would I wish that he was, you know, 200 pounds? Of course. But we've seen, you know, Raheem Mostert isn't necessarily a big back. Obviously, Jeff Wilson isn't a big back either. I think they're both right around like that 200-pound mark. You know, we're not talking about 225-pound running backs with those guys, but they're both speedy. They both excelled in this offense. So I'm going to go ahead and take Achane here at the 109.
Like it. A little spice. You know, change it up. But I don't mind that at all. And so now, like, I think it comes down to me. It's Zay Flowers or it is one of the tight ends, namely Dalton Kincaid. But I think I'm going to go with Zay Flowers here. He should definitely not fall out of the first round. Again, I talked about some of the issues that I do have with Zay Flowers, but overall, I still think that he's in a good spot. I think they're going to utilize him in a lot of different ways, get the ball in his hands, because him after the catch is special. So I do like Zay Flowers, and this is the best wide receiver we've ever seen for Lamar Jackson. All this time, it finally took them, you know, once they finally gave him an extension, to actually surround him with good weapons, and this is going to be the most weapons he's ever had in his career. So hopefully Lamar Jackson can take us that big step forward as a passer, not just as a runner. And if that's the case, then, you know, I think that spells good things for Zay Flowers. So I'm not going to let Zay Flowers fall anymore. So Zay Flowers here.
Yeah, he would have been my next pick had you taken the tight end that you were mentioning. And that's where I'm going to go here with my next pick. I'm going Kincaid. Now, at first, I really wasn't sure about the landing spot. Just because, you know, we've seen someone like Dawson Knox like have his up and downs. He'll, you know, he'll pop off for a game, then he'll go completely unheard of for the next three or four. But then I saw Brandon Bean mention that you can expect him to be flexed out more, you know, kind of put in a slot type role, more so than Dawson Knox, and that really piqued my interest. You know, I like Khalil Shakir, but you know, he was what, a fifth round, sixth round pick. He was a day three guy. They obviously spent the first round capital on Kincaid, and that was without Kincaid, you know, doing anything at the combine because he was a little banged up, and with that injury, and they still felt comfortable enough to take him where they did. So, you know, Gabe Davis has also been a disappointment for our fantasy team. So I'm coming around on it, and I think at this point it makes the most sense. So I'm going to go Kincaid here at the second to last pick of the first round.
So with the four wide receivers, the four first round wide receivers off the board, I think I'm going to go tight end again here, and I'm going to go with Michael Mayer. You know, he did fall a little bit in the draft. I think people were a little surprised that he fell. You know, he didn't fall too far. He did fall early second. But I think Mayer falling to the Raiders, I think, is actually a really good landing spot because of Darren Waller being gone. You know, I know they have some other weapons there, Jacoby Myers and stuff like that. But I think this is a really good landing spot for Michael Mayer. He's going to be able to easily step right in. You know, I don't love Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback, but, you know, he has shown the ability, obviously, to be able to support multiple pass catchers in his time in San Francisco. So, while, you know, Davante Adams is still the unquestioned alpha there, I think Michael Mayer steps into a fantastic role here for the Raiders. So I'm going to go with Michael Mayer here.
Man, we are lockstep here. I don't know where you would have had A-Chain, but this is a very very similar order to how I have it right now currently. So this is interesting. I think we were definitely a little more different before the draft happened, but. To kick off the second round here, this is a super flex. He did fall. You know, we had to look at him and, you know, his girlfriend and all the other girls that were around him in the green room during that entire first round. But I'm going to go ahead and take Will Levis here at the 201. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill is not going to be sticking around long. Anyone who loved Malik Willis, myself included, it looks like that dream is over. So give me Will Levis here in a super flex format to kick off the second round.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I mean, especially in a super flex. So for me, I can't do it. Like, I can't take Zach Charbonnet here. I can't do it. Like, I can't. He just doesn't really stand out to me anymore. So now I think you look at wide receiver. I think there's definitely a couple wide receivers I'm going to take here, but I am going to go running back, and I'm going to go with my new RB3, and that is Kendre Miller. Who I'm going to go with here at the 20? Are we at 201 or 202? Anyways, I'm going to go with Kendre Miller. Steps into a really good landing spot here, especially for a running back. We know Alvin Kamara now is going, or not now, but likely is going to be suspended. You know, could be four games, could be six games, could be more, depending on what happened here with his legal troubles. He's also getting up there in age. He's somebody that I do not think they want to continue to utilize as much as they did last year. So, really good landing spot for Kendre Miller. I don't necessarily love the offense overall, but I do think Kendre Miller landed in a really good spot in the third round. So you're going to the Saints. So I'm going to go with Kendre Miller, who is now my new RB3.
Yeah. God. Why does Pete Carroll have to do the things that he does? I can't put Charbonnet at three anymore. And I've seen some people, or I mean, obviously I have A-Chain above him, but I just can't get behind people that are still ranking Charbonnet as highly as they are. You know, and unless that there is an injury that we are unaware of, or, you know, something coming down the line for Ken Walker. Now, obviously they had to add some depth after, you know, Rashad Penny landed with the Eagles, and I think they also lost one of those receiving backs to somewhere that's escaping me right now. But, you know, they had to do it, but did they have to do it in the second round after spending capital, that same capital, on Ken Walker last year? So it's so sad because we have limited running backs that, like, we're, like, really excited about, right? And then that just went and killed two of them. Anyway, at the 203 here, I'm going to take tight end three, and that is going to be Sam Laporta out of Iowa. Really like this landing spot, landing in that offense with Detroit. You know, obviously we saw TJ Hawkinson have success there. I think that, you know, with once Jameson Williams comes back from his suspension, you know, who knows, will we ever see him actually in a full role at this point? Who knows? You know, it seems like it's never going to happen, but I think this makes a, this pick made a lot of sense for Detroit. Obviously fills a need that they had. Really like his game. I think he, you know, between him and Michael Mayer, those are probably the two best overall tight ends just in terms of their blocking ability and, you know, their ability as a receiver as well. So really like Sam Laporta, happy to take him here at the beginning of the second.
Yeah, that was an excellent landing spot for him when he was picked there. So next up, I'm going to go back to wide receiver. And, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go with Josh Downs. I still have him as my wide receiver five. That I think other people might, you know, value a couple of the other guys that had a little bit earlier draft capital than he did. But, you know, he was a third-round pick, 79th overall to the Colts. But it's just excellent landing spot that he got. I mean, very limited in terms of competition. I mean, really, it's him. It's Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce. And then I think he slides right in as be the every down slot player over there for them. I don't know why he fell the way that he did. It doesn't really make a lot of sense, especially as productive as he was at North Carolina. But, you know, regardless, I don't really care anymore. You know, of that point, he goes to an excellent landing spot with the Colts. And I think I have less questions about some of the other options that, you know, the guys that did go ahead of him in the second round. You know, like, you know, Marvin Mims, for example, I dropped all the way down to my tier three of wide receivers going to the Broncos. I just don't have a whole lot of faith. You know, I think Russell Wilson will turn it around a little bit, but he's still the third or fourth, if not the fifth passing option there for them there with the Broncos. I know he went ahead of him. I think, you know, you can make an argument for a Jaden Reed or a Jonathan Mingo or a Rashee Rice who all went ahead of him. But I just think overall landing spot, really very little standing in front of him, I think makes him a lot still still, people should still value him as much as they did before.
I'm with you, man. I think we're going to end up being higher on Josh Downs and consensus, and I'm completely fine with it for everything that you just laid out there. You did slip in the name of who I am going to be taking next, and I have ranked just slightly ahead. I have him one spot ahead as of right now, and that is Sir Jonathan Mingo going to the Carolina Panthers. Like I said, I think he was a little bit of a surprise. He was definitely getting some buzz as we were like getting through the offseason, especially among like the actual like NFL type people. He had, you know, he had some people. I think you really liked him, Kev, you know, whenever we were doing our rookie wide receiver rankings before the draft. But now he lands in a spot where there really isn't a lot ahead of him, especially after this year. DJ Chark and Adam Thielen were both brought in on like cheap 1 year deals. And it could be him as the wide receiver one for that team next year. Now, obviously, they're going to be adding more weapons to put around Bryce Young, but he's going to get that jump start in terms of building that rapport with him. And who else do they bring? Like Hayden Hurst or Austin Hooper? One of those tight ends that's been kicked around a bunch. They brought one of those guys in as well. But again, I'm not all that worried about it. Really like this landing spot for Jonathan Mingo, and I really like the idea of him and Bryce Young starting to build that rapport early. Again, might not jump out to a hot start year one, but I think year two and beyond is going to be a really nice pairing for those two.
Yeah, it's like a misfit group of weapons they have there. Yeah, because they brought in Hayden Hurst, DJ Chark, Adam Thielen. You know, LaVisca Chenault's obviously still there too. So it's a bunch of misfits there and not a lot ahead of him. Yes, I love Jonathan Mingo. I was hoping that he was going to fall to the Chiefs. It did not happen. But Jonathan Mingo here, I like that pick. I'm going to go with Jaden Reed as my next pick here for the, you know, got drafted to Green Bay. Finally, you know, it felt like the Packers were really on a mission to surround, Love with Jordan Love with a lot of weapons because they took three offensive weapons, you know, in the second round was going with Jaden Reed, and they took Luke Musgrove, and then as well as the other tight end. His name is escaping me off the top of my head. What's his name? Tucker Kraft. So, you know, they added a lot of weapons there. But really, I mean, Alan Lazard is now gone from that offense. And, you know, it's Romeo Doubs, the only other guy that's kind of ahead of him in terms of options. And then you have, Christian Watson as well there. But Christian Watson wasn't really a volume guy, right? Like, he scored a lot of touchdowns. But he wasn't a guy that, you know, that I think that's where Jaden Reed fits in, where he can be much more in the slot and, you know, a guy who is excellent with the ball in his hands after the catch ability and all of those things that he brings to the table. So very early draft capital for Jaden Reed. So I really like the Jaden Reed pick. Sad that he fell to the Packers, because, again, another guy that I was hoping the Chiefs would take. So I'm going to go with Jaden Reed here next up.
We are incredibly close in our rankings. He was my next pick. And I guess you're going to force me to do it. You know, the fall has to stop at some point. I will take Zach Charbonnet here at 207. I'm sure, again, he's someone I don't understand. I think, you know, a lot of people are still ranking him as, in, that 12 to, 15 range. I can't get there, man. I can't do it. But at this point, with some of the other names that are still out there, you know, we're getting to the point where, especially in this class, there are questions either surrounding the prospect themselves, their landing spot, where they landed in terms of the depth chart and things like that, their athletic profile, all those sorts of things. So I'm finally going to stop the slide. I'm sure there's people out there screaming that we hadn't taken him yet. No, we did not forget him. We are both just we're both just very disappointed. We are burnt by this, and I will finally stop the slide. Zach Charbonnet, Pete. What are you doing? I don't know, man. I do think that they are slightly different in the way that they could be used. Like, I think Charbonnet obviously has the much better receiving profile than Walker did coming out of college, right? Because we were all questioning whether or not Walker could even catch the ball, because he had so few targets and catches at Michigan State. But I think, you know, Charbonnet, I think at least 20 catches the past 2 years, I want to say, if not higher. But I don't know, man. I just don't have a ton of faith in Pete Carroll being able to utilize both of these guys, with, you know, even though they do have some distinct differences in their skill set. But the slide stops here. Zach Charbonnet, I'm heartbroken.
They are definitely different. They're definitely different prospects. I think you could also see Charbonnet be utilized much more on the goal line and the short yard situation, because Kenneth Walker was not great in those areas last year, and nor was he really in college. He's much more of just kind of a home run hitter, illustrated in his, you know, kind of his breakaway run rate, his breakaway runs last year. That's kind of what he brings to the table, where I think that Charbonnet is much more of that kind of that grinder in between the tackles guy, somebody that can be utilized, on the goal line and stuff like that. Or I don't know if Kenneth Walker, and we can see where Kenneth Walker is more relegated to, you know, early down work, and that's it. And then he comes off the field, and then it's, you know, Zach Charbonnet time until you get down inside the goal line, and then, you know, he stays on the game. So to me, when it comes to running backs, we have such a short window with these guys, that if you have, and we're not talking about Kenneth Walker, who's in year three or year four, you're talking about Kenneth Walker, who's coming off his rookie season. And so these guys are going to be playing together for the next 3 years. So outside of an injury happening, when are you ever going to be able to really feel comfortable, you know, with Zach Charbonnet, right? Like, when is his value going to go up because of, you know, with Kenneth Walker still there? Now, unless Kenneth Walker is completely falls off the table or suffers a, you know, catastrophic injury like an Achilles or something like that, then you're just never going to feel comfortable utilizing him. And so I don't see how you can still have him ranked high. You know, yes, it's possible that Kenneth Walker falls off and Zach Charbonnet takes over this backfield. Those are all things that are possible, but I wouldn't put any amount of money on it. And so with that being said, like, I just think there's so many other options you just feel better about. And so I just can't feel comfortable taking Zach Charbonnet. And so for me, next pick, I definitely think there's a running back here that I could take, because there's another running back that I actually like, even though he was a day three pick. But I'm going to go with wide receiver here, and I'm going to go with Rashee Rice, who went to the Kansas City Chiefs. Clearly, this was a guy they wanted. They traded up to get him. They brought him in for their top 30 visits. He actually went, he was one of the all, also was a player that worked out with Patrick Mahomes, which wasn't really mentioned. It was talked about with Zay Flowers and Quentin Johnston, but he also worked out with Pat Mahomes as well, and as Pat Mahomes absolutely loved the dude. And so I like, he's not like a super sexy player, but I think he is still really solid yards after the catch. Was hyper productive last year, 96 receptions, 1300 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns. Now, this is a hodgepodge group of wide receivers that they're going to have, because they still have Sky Moore, they still have Kadarius Toney, who is still there, they still have MBS, but Rashee Rice is a little bit bigger, 6 foot 200 pounds. Somebody that I think that is going to play kind of that Juju Smith Schuster role for them. I think that is where they envision utilizing him. He's not quite as big as he is, but I think that's the role they're going to be looking for him. And we know that Kadarius Toney never stays healthy. We didn't see Sky Moore really kind of do anything. So, I mean, really, I mean, Rashee Rice could end up being, witness to shock me, if year one he finishes like a low-end wide receiver two, wide receiver three type. So I do like Rashee Rice going to the Chiefs here in this landing spot. So I was no way I was going to let him fall any further than this.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I think I could have potentially taken him ahead of Zach Charbonnet as well. Just for everything you outlined, like Rice wasn't one of my favorites coming into the process, but the capital, the landing spot, like you said, he does offer something different compared to some of the other wide receivers, and eventually the Chiefs have to hit on one of these guys, right? Like, eventually you guys are going to find someone to step in and actually take some of this production with Patty Mahomes there. So really like that pick. I am going to go ahead and take, I don't know if this is the day three running back that you were alluding to, Kev, but Tyjae Spears is who I'm going to go ahead and take here. I never thought I would be drafting or wanting to draft a running back who apparently doesn't have an ACL, but he was still taken in the third round. And you have to assume, at least I hope, that the Titans had this information as well. And this isn't coming as some shock to them. And I thought about the fact that, like, oh man, no ACL. And then you have a Pro Football Doc on Twitter talking about how, you know, he can play, but he's not going to have a long NFL career. And then I kind of just realized that we really don't care about running backs for dynasty purposes after their first contract anyway, right? So you're not planning on any of these guys, you know, outside of someone like a Bijan Robinson to be on your dynasty teams for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. So that's why I still feel okay taking Tyjae Spears here. He's obviously a completely different back compared to Derrick Henry. So I think maybe potentially even limiting his touches this first year wouldn't be such a bad thing anyway, considering he has no ACL in one of his knees.
That was not the running back that I was going to discuss, but I do think the path is definitely there, especially with Derrick Henry likely. I mean, he has to fall off some point, right? I mean, or this is probably his last year with the Titans, one or the other. The guy I was actually going to bring up was Roshon Johnson. I think he actually landed a really good landing spot with Chicago. Khalil Herbert, the new coaching staff, all that has no ties, no allegiance whatsoever to Khalil Herbert. They didn't draft him. That was the previous coaching staff that did. And so as much as I love Khalil Herbert, I think Roshon Johnson can easily come in and kind of play that David Montgomery role, come right in and be that guy. I don't know if Roshon Johnson is quite as good as David Montgomery, but I don't think he's that far behind. Obviously, there's still a little bit, you know, unknown with him because he was playing so much behind Bijan Robinson, but in the opportunities that he was given, he was shown to be a quality pass catcher as well. So I really like Roshon Johnson here in this landing spot that he got with the Chicago Bears in an offense that I seem to be higher on than some other people. I still think there's a lot of like hate out there for this offense and this team and Justin Fields in general. But I think everything they've done this offseason, I think they made a lot of really good moves. They had a really, really, really good draft. And so I like all the things that they've done. I think this offensive line is definitely going to be better than it was before as well. So I do like Roshon Johnson here So I'm going to go with Roschon here. I probably could have went, you know, maybe another wide receiver, but I decided to go. I'm going to go Roschon.
Yeah, I don't hate that pick whatsoever. I am going to go with a wide receiver here, and I'm going to take Marvin Mims, landed with the Broncos. Now, again, he's one of these guys that, you know, year one, not a great situation, but I'm looking at year two and beyond for Marvin Mims. I really liked him coming into this process. He was someone who I, you know, wasn't really understanding why he wasn't getting, you know, more talk and buzz. He's been nothing but productive on limited targets as well. It's not like he was like some massive target hog. Also had to deal with a lot of, you know, changes, whether it's the coaching staff, quarterbacks, all that stuff. And he still did his thing. It does not seem like the Broncos are really all that in and all that committed to either Jerry Jeudy or Cortland Sutton. So this could be potentially, you know, at worst, he's wide receiver two for this team next year. And it could potentially be a path where he's the top wide receiver, you know, depending on how everything falls. Now, obviously, if they were to lose Jeudy and Sutton, they're going to be adding someone else into the mix. But I think there is a possibility that he is a much more highly sought after dynasty asset after year one here with the Broncos.
Yeah, what pick are we on? Is that it? We got one more.
212. You're up.
So this is the last one. Whew. I think I think some people would look to go take Bigsby here. I don't love the landing spot for him. I think other people seem to really love it. I'm not as much. So I'm going to go with Cedric Tillman here. He went to the Browns. And this is another you know, that could very quickly change for him. Donovan Peoples-Jones is a free agent after 2023. And so he easily could be step right in and be that number two wide receiver here for them. I do think Deshaun Watson kind of gets back to being somewhere closer to the guy that he was prior to all of his, you know, shit and everything else before he, you know, was released by the Texans. And so I know last year he was absolutely dreadful and he was anemic, but I think that he, you know, the whole entire offseason getting further away from all that, I think coming in, being able to get the whole entire offseason, training camp, all that stuff, I think Deshaun Watson is going to be much more of the guy he used to be, which is going to be great things for this offense. And so Cedric Tillman here, at worst, he's the number three wide receiver. I know David Bell was drafted in the third round by them last year, but I was never high on David Bell ever. And so I just think this is a good landing spot for Cedric Tillman. And getting him here at the back half of the second round, early third round, I think is good for him as well. So I'm going to go Cedric Tillman.
Yep, he would have been my next pick. And something else just to throw into there. I looked up before we started the Amari Cooper contract, and he can be, if he's designated as a post June 1 cut or trade next year, they can save $20 million against the cap. And that'll also be Amari Cooper's age 30 season. So again, it's another situation where we could be looking at Cedric Tillman as potentially the wide receiver one for that offense. So I really like his long-term outlook as well. Just want to throw out a couple more names, because obviously, you know, a lot of people's dynasty rookie drafts are at least four rounds, you know, if not five or maybe a little bit more, depending on your depth and everything like that. But you kind of mentioned Tank Bigsby in passing, if I can speak. I think he makes some sense here, you know, toward, you know, the end of the second, beginning of the third, just because it doesn't seem like the Jags want to give ETN a boatload of touches. They kind of started the season off between him and James Robinson, where it was a pretty even split. There was a bunch of games where Robinson actually led in touches. And then we saw ETN really take off, and he was getting, you know, 18, 20 touches per week. Started to get banged up, slowed down a little bit. And then toward the tail end of the season, they kind of brought that back. So I think Bigsby could be a nice complimentary piece. They also brought it. They re-signed Hasty, and they brought in D'Ernest Johnson as well. So I do think there's going to be a little bit more of a split than just being the ETN show. So I think he makes some sense. Obviously, Cedric Tillman's college teammate with Jalin Hyatt. The only thing I don't like about that landing spot is there are just a boatload of wide receivers with the Giants now. Now, could he clearly make the jump and be ahead a bunch of them? A bunch of them? Absolutely. But I also don't like it from the standpoint of Danny Dimes and what Jalin Hyatt does best, which is the deep ball. And I don't think that really matches up with Danny Dimes. But I do think he makes some sense, especially if you're looking for, you know, someone who could, you know, spike you a week. I don't want to speak for you, but I was not a big Nathaniel Tank Dell person, but he got some surprising capital and also lands in a spot where the depth chart really isn't settled at all. So he's going to be able to go in there and at least get a crack to really jump in and be the dude for CJ Stroud. So I think he makes some sense here again, like in the third round or so. I still wouldn't go crazy with it, but I think the beginning of the third is somewhere where I'd be looking to take him. Obviously, you have Hendon Hooker as well, which in a super flex league, especially getting to this point where there's like, you're talking about taking guys who are going in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. I think Hooker makes some sense. You know, that there was a lot of steam with him to potentially be a first round pick. Obviously that didn't come to pass, but I think going there, the only thing with Hooker is, one, I don't think we were going to see him really much at all year one anyway, right? But now he's going to be landing in a spot where Goff could be moved on from next year. And we're still not really going to have any idea what Hooker is. So, like, I don't think that there's necessarily going to be any type of commitment to him from the Lions. So, but again, third round, maybe Goff gets hurt. Hooker gets thrown in, you know, toward the middle of the season, end of the season. And he can end up, you know, showing something potentially either for the Lions or going forward for another team. I think you can look at him. We talked about the Green Bay tight ends. I really don't know what to do there. I think this could potentially be a scenario with like what we saw with the Ravens a few years ago, where they took Hayden Hurst in the first and then Mark Andrews in the third. I think Tucker Kraft could end up being the better tight end here and the guy that we want to go after. So I wanted to throw him out there. Kev, are there any other names? There's obviously there's some more that are interesting to me, but I don't want to take all the names and leave you with nothing to talk about. So anyone I didn't mention that you like here, kind of throwing a dart at in the third and fourth rounds?
Absolutely. Chase Brown, I think, is definitely one. Got drafted by the Bengals, you know, in a landing spot where Joe Mixon has really struggled the last 2 years. Samaje Perine is now gone. And, I think he probably steps right in and gets opportunity, you know, this year. I think he could be the kind of in that relief role for him. Super athletic running back, you know, somebody with a 95th percentile burst score, a 90th percentile speed score for Chase Brown. Drafted in the fifth round, you know, really had some really solid production his last year there at Illinois, 1,600 rushing yards, 13 touchdowns. Also somebody that is a adequate pass catcher at 27 receptions his final year there as well for 240 yards. So I think Chase Brown really could be a super sneaky option with an offensive line that has been upgraded and, you know, obviously one of the best offenses in the league. You know, and if anything were to happen to Joe Mixon, I mean, Chase Brown could be absolutely wheels up for Chase Brown. So I love Chase Brown taking shots on him in the third round of rookie drafts. I think, you know, in terms of wide receiver, I think Tyler Scott is also kind of in an interesting spot as well. You know, he goes to the Bears, and, you know, if you look just a little bit further down the road, you know, Chase Claypool has never really been able to figure it out other than that one season he had, but he's a free agent after this year. Darnell Mooney is a free agent this year. I think that when you look at Tyler Scott and what he brings to the table, super athletic guy, could play in the slot. I think he can play on the outside as well. And so I think he's another player that I would definitely be looking to kind of take some shots at here with Tyler Scott. And so those are kind of the two guys that really stood out to me in terms of overall. You already hit on the other tight end. And then, you know, I think that kind of is it. Like Israel Bandicanda, sad that he ends up going to the Jets. Like maybe he could have some relevancy with, you know, if Breece Hall, you know, doesn't get going as soon as, you know, as we think he will, or maybe they want to ease him back in and not really give him like a full workload out of the gate. Cause it does sound like Breece Hall is much further along in his rehab. It's like he can be ready for training camp, but I still think that, you know, if they want to take some, you know, a little bit of the load off of him year one, coming back from ACL, maybe Izzy Abandikanda kind of gets some opportunities here, kind of that home run threat can kind of do it all running back as well. But I was kind of sad that when he went to the Jets, just because, you know, obviously Breece Hall is there. But I think he's another player that we could take a look at. And I could tell you the players that I don't want anything to do with, and that's Zach Evans. I don't want anything to do with Zach Evans. Like, I know people are going to say Zach Evans, and like I get it, because if you look at the landing spot, he goes to the Rams. It's Cam Akers. Cam Akers has not been somebody that is a model citizen of health, so it's certainly possible that he could, you know, that he could get some opportunity there. But I'm just not that big of a fan of Zach Evans. But, you know, we still have to get through some of the other stuff too. Like, there's still some veteran running backs that are lurking out there to just crush our hopes and dreams for some of these guys, right? Like, yeah. Leonard Fournette, Zeke is still sitting out there. Like, so there's still some, you know, some, you know, veteran running backs that are going to get an opportunity somewhere. You know, I know the Cowboys still have said that they haven't ruled bringing Zeke back, which wouldn't surprise me one bit. But other than that, like, I think that's kind of the guys that I would be taking a look at here.
Yeah, we can get out of here after this. I just want to throw out a couple more names. Puka Nacua landing with the Rams, and there's nothing there outside of Cooper Kupp, so I think he's an interesting dart throw. Eric Gray landing behind Saquon Barkley, who still hasn't signed his franchise tender. I mean, I think that ends up happening before the season starts. I don't think Barkley's going to sit out, especially because he's someone we haven't heard a peep on when it comes to, like, any teams potentially kicking the can on him. You know, he was given permission to go out and talk to the teams and, you know, seek a trade, and we haven't heard blip on that. So,
well, they, like a day or two ago, they said they're going to now the draft's over, they're going to get back to negotiating a new contract. I think is what was said a day or two ago. So,
okay, got it. I still think, you know, he could make some sense behind Barkley. And again, especially when we're talking about like a fourth round dart throw. And another guy, you know, we brought this up a lot in terms of like looking ahead and, you know, looking at contracts and when guys are coming out for free agency and that sort of thing. But Charlie Jones for the Bengals obviously really only has like that one big year of production last year at Purdue. But, you know, my guy Tyler Boyd is going to be a free agent after this year. Obviously, T. Higgins, I think, is going to be a free agent after this year as well. So I think Higgins is obviously going to be he's going to be the one who's prioritized over Tyler Boyd. So I think Charlie Johnson could potentially slide in slide in as like that wide receiver three. Potentially wide receiver two, but I do think they try and figure out a way to keep Higgins also with that Burrow extension coming up as well.
Yeah, and I guess if you want to like a really, really deep one, Derek Prince for the Chiefs. there's been a lot of people talk that like he's the Isaiah Pacheco clone, and you know, watch out, he's going to be the guy. I'm like, Jesus, this is what we're doing. But, you know, I guess you should always take, you know, shots on guys like this, depending on if they can get get an opportunity. It's not crazy for them if they wanted to just cut Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They've already declined his fifth-year option.
Yeah.
They can't really save a ton of money by doing so, but it really wouldn't surprise me. You know, we kind of saw last year they brought in Ronald Jones. That didn't really ever work out, and they kind of just kept him around just for depth purposes, and he never really did a whole lot. Like, that could possibly happen. They did re-sign Jerick McKinnon, but Derek Prince, though, if you look at his profile, like 6 foot 216, very similar to Isaiah Pacheco, 4.41, has a 96 percentile speed score, 71st percentile burst score. He was actually number two in this entire running back class in terms of athleticism score. So, UDFA out of Tulsa. So, former Texas A&M Aggie.
Yeah, that was I'm glad you brought that up. I have him written down for like a super deep dynasty league that I'm in. It's like in an auction draft where hopefully I can just like snag him for a buck or two, stash him on the taxi squad and see what happens. But let's answer Tam's question here, then we'll get out after this. Any thoughts on Seattle's draft? Obviously, you know, we've beaten the dead horse on the Zach Charbonnet thing, and anything outside of the Zach Charbonnet pick that sticks out to you with Seattle. I did see that apparently that they were really that they were potentially looking at Anthony Richardson. You know, were really debating him at five had the Colts not taken him, and that would have been, you know, a really interesting spot, but. Just any thoughts overall on Seattle's draft?
I mean, if we're not, I mean, I don't want to sit here and, you know, keep crushing it, because I do like the Devin Witherspoon pick that they got, their first pick of the first round. I think that was a really good pick. You know, getting JSN is a great pick. Like, I don't mind it. Like, it's not as the sexiest of landing spots in terms of just for fantasy purposes, but overall, great landing spot. Gives them a solid number three wide receiver there for Geno Smith. If anything were to happen, you know, Tyler Lockett likely gone after this year anyway. So he kind of steps right into that easy role there for them. So I do like that. I know we hate the Zach Charbonnet pick, but like, I you know, it is what it is at this point. So obviously they have two solid running backs, and that wasn't even the only running back they selected, because they also, I believe, they drafted a second running back as well in that draft. Yeah, they drafted Kenny McIntosh in the seventh round as well. So, but overall, like, I mean, it is what it is at this point. I just think, you know, anytime it's like Seattle, like, even though that, like, what made DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett awesome last year for fantasy purposes, or good for fantasy purposes, is that they were the only guys in town. They really didn't have any tight end. Their number three wide receiver was really nobody. And so, like, it was the target share was so consolidated between them two that it made them fantasy viable, right, on a week-to-week basis, where now you add in a third wide receiver into that, and I think it's going to take more away from some of those guys. And now I just don't really love the landing spot overall for any of them. Like, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, like, unless you think this is going to be a team that's going to be top 10 in pass rate, which I don't think it's going to be with what they're wanting to do with what they've done in the draft with adding Zach Charbonnet in the second round, it's just really hard to trust it. And so, like, for fantasy purposes, I don't really love it for this year. I think moving forward for JSN, I think it's great. I think he'll be in a really good hands. And, you know, I do think JSN is the best wide receiver in this draft. But I think just for this season, you know, I think that, you know, it's not as great as what it could be, but I think moving forward, it's still a great landing spot. And crazy things happen. Tyler Lockett tears ACL and in preseason, and JSN's wheels up for JSN. So, you know, those, you know, that's why landing spot for wide receivers isn't as important as it is for running, you know, as for running backs.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't have anything else to add. I think obviously pairing Woolen and Witherspoon on the outside is a really nice cornerback pairing. And then with obviously getting Derek Hall there on the outside too, someone to go alongside of Uchenna Nwosu on the other side is interesting as well. So it's just hard for me to really say anything positive, again, given the Charbonnet thing. Just because, like I said, for fantasy purposes, I mean, that could potentially be a really, really interesting duo just for NFL purposes, just if you're a fan of the Seahawks and you want to watch them. But for fantasy purposes, just the fact that, like, that just crushes two guys. Unless this is just strictly depth behind Kenneth Walker, which then it obviously just completely crushes Charbonnet. But I don't know.
I know that this is, you know, this was kind of based more around dynasty, but I guess just for like a season long perspective, at least for this year, like if Charbonnet were to be a guy that was going like the 12th, 13th, 14th round, would you take shots on him? Because like I feel like at that point I would be okay with taking a shot on him, because anything could possibly happen, obviously. And I think, you know, the landing spot isn't terrible if something were to happen to Kenneth Walker, or he's more involved in the passing game and he's kind of uses the goal line. Like he could actually be the high value guy that you'd want over Kenneth Walker. But like that's about the only shot that I think that Zach Charbonnet that like I would want him, which sucks because I was love Zach Charbonnet. I think that's really the biggest problem is like we all love Kenneth Walker coming in before this happened, right? Kenneth Walker was like locked in top 10 guy, like love Kenneth Walker. And then Zach Charbonnet was, you know, for a lot of people was the number two running back for most people. For us, for me, it was. And then they just like nuked each other. And it's like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, this is where we're at. This is great. So, and then I'll be having the 108 in a rookie draft. So this is a non super flex.
I think that 108 range you're looking at, you know, depending on if you have to start a tight end or not. But I think that's probably when you're starting to look at potentially like a Kincaid in that range, you know, Zay Flowers, depending on what happens ahead of that. I think, you know, Mayer, Laporta, also interesting. And then I think also, you know, depending on your team needs, like I wouldn't, I wouldn't hate. I know it's only a one QB, but I wouldn't hate at that point, you know, potentially taking a shot on Anthony Richardson. I know it might be a little bit early, but after you, if you take out like super flex, like this class definitely loses some of its luster. I like the super flex drafts, but kind of looking, and I haven't done one that was just one QB, but kind of going through my ranks here and like eliminating the quarterbacks and like trying to see like where I would have some of these guys, it gets a little sketchy quick. So I also wouldn't mind just potentially trading that first, you know, for a random 2024 first, Alexis. And I know we always talk about like, hey, next year, just wait until next year. But the chances of you having a pick that's ahead of that, you know, could be a little bit better. We're really, you're only looking at, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12 in terms of having a worse pick than what you do this year. So, I mean, I think quarterback could potentially be in the works. You know, if you have to start a tight end, I think you could start looking at some of those guys. And then if not, Kevin and I both do like Jonathan Mingo and Josh Downs quite a bit. So I think those two wide receivers would probably be the most realistic at 108.
Yeah. I mean, I think trading out of it would probably be the spot. Like, you can get a 2024. 2024 does look good, but we did this last year too.
And the year before.
Yeah. The things that change isn't necessarily just the players. It's also some of these guys don't actually commit and they stay. Because Zach Charbonnet should have been, should have been a guy who came out last year. He didn't, decide to come back for one more year. So that's where some of these things can change, where some of these guys don't end up declaring like they think they're going to. And that's, you know, where it takes some of the luster away from the, you know, the overall draft prospect pool. And so that's kind of what happens. And so that also changes. But obviously, we know like next year, obviously Marvin Harrison is going to be the, you know, the unquestioned guy, that, you know, the elite prospect that's going to be in that draft, kind of the Bijan Robinson of the group. And then, you know, obviously Caleb Williams should be coming in that class. Drake May will be coming from there as well. So next year's class does look really good, but it can change really quickly as well with how things can work. So overall, you'll have to wait and see on that. So, you know, hold your breath on what you think is going to be, because I saw some people post like they're around this time, they posted a 2023 mock draft, and it's pretty rough of some of the players that they had. They had like Zach Evans, you know, going in like the first round and stuff like that. I'm like, you know, which, hey, I mean, it's a mock draft. You're just, you know, I'm not knocking the person whoever did it, you know, because things, that's how much, but that's just how quickly things change. So,
yeah.
Anyways, that being said, the NFL draft is in the books. I can tell you we're going to be pumping out some real content here soon. Now the draft is over. I think here very quickly we'll be updating our rankings again now, post-draft, kind of see where some of these guys shake out and our overall, our season-long. I know this is what Cody loves more than anything, is doing rankings. Like, he just, 6 to midnight every single time we talk real about
quick.
It.
Real quick.
And so we're going to have that. But we're, you know, I mean, redraft season is very – very soon. I mean, it's not that far away. We're into May. May is going to go by quickly. Next thing you know, we got OTAs, all that stuff. Training camp's like, what, 2.5 months away. So I think schedule release is next week. So, I mean, that's huge. You know, everyone looks forward to that. You know, the schedule coming out. So we're going to start really ramping up the content. I think we've been a little bit slow in the content creation department here around these parts with just me and you. But that's going to change. I'm getting excited to start pumping out some stuff here and start getting into the 2023 season. Now we kind of got everything laid out. There's not much that's going to change from here. So that being said, keep it locked in here. We got a lot more stuff coming. Have a good rest of the week. Have a good weekend. We will see you again next week, probably with some rankings. Goodbye.
Closing time, open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time, turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time, one last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I know. You will.